This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com.
Welcome back, rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock on the Money podcast, episode 147. It's time to talk about your saving, investing, and protecting all of your hard-earned monies. We are here to coach you along that path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your certified master financial coach, along with Amanda, our corporate in-house lawyer and real estate referral agent. And we're grateful you've joined us. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/rockonthemoney. Or the website at rockonthemoney.com. How are you doing, Amanda?
Good. How are you? It's been a while.
I know. And it's Thanksgiving week. We made it to Thanksgiving.
Yes.
How are you doing on your shopping?
I haven't started, but I plan to do most of it Black Friday. I like to do it all in one fell swoop.
Well, there you go. A lot of stores are doing Black Friday already, I've noticed.
I know. Advantage of the Walmart Black Friday already. We got a new Blackstone griddle for our camper. It was on super sale. Yeah. And I get sheets pretty much every year. So I got new sheets again.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. I think a lot of retailers are now closed on Thanksgiving. So employees can now be off. Yeah.
Back to basics here.
Back to the way it was.
It used to be closed when we were younger.
I think this is the way it's going to be. We have everything online. There's no reason for everybody to get up Friday morning. I do admit, though, I used to do that every now and then. It was kind of fun.
It is fun.
But, you know, the sales are not what they used to be. I don't think
the deals aren't expected to be as good this year because of all the supply chain issues.
And inflation.
And
everything else. Yeah. But so, now the retailers are fighting, stepping over each other to get your money now. So.
Yeah.
If you look around, there's some good sales out there.
Yeah.
Hey, so what do we got on this podcast?
Oh, looks like we've got a fun article to discuss. And then we've got a couple of questions from our followers.
Great. And I picked up this article, Amanda. The title is from CNBC. I'll put the link in the show notes.
Okay.
The title says nearly half of all Americans expect to retire in debt.
It's like the Family Feud survey says.
Yeah, survey says so. Can you read what we have here?
Yeah, sure. So it says that most people are used to living with debt. Retiring in red is another story. Maintaining enough cash on hand to cover recurring bills with interest is harder on a fixed income, and it adds another obstacle to the challenge of living comfortably. And yet, 46% of Americans expect to retire in debt, according to the survey by personal finance site Magnify Money. The total debt burden for Americans over age 70 increased, oh my gosh, this is like heart-stopping, 614% through 2021 from 1999 to $1.27 trillion, according to data from the Federal Reserve. While most Americans recognize it is increasingly their responsibility to fund retirement rather than relying solely on a pension or Social Security, 43% fear their retirement dreams could be disrupted if Social Security runs dry, according again to the Magnify Money survey. Already, the U.S. Department of Treasury has said that Social Security Trust Fund will run out of money sooner than expected due to the COVID pandemic. Well, that's kind of it's like a year sooner than expected.
Does this not say everything we've been saying for 146 episodes?
Yeah.
You and I both do not count Social Security as part of our planning for retirement because we don't believe it'll be around and we don't want to rely on that. So that's number one. Number two, we know pensions are dying out. Americans do need to save their own money. We're not like a European country where the pensions are part of the government, anything like that. It is on you. And people are just so used to using credit cards, recurring charges and just buying cars and just having debt. But when you don't have an income, you got to pay those.
Yeah.
So we have always been saying, pay off your debt before you retire. Here's what surprises me. Back on that first sentence, people are expecting to retire in debt. How do you think it's
just because people are just so used to it being a part of their lives. Like, I think it's hard for people to imagine living without a car payment or a mortgage because that's just part of their bill every month, right?
But how do you retire? I guess we're a different mindset. How do you retire in debt? The best thing you could do to yourself is to be debt-free in retirement.
Yeah. I have exciting news.
What's that?
We paid off one of our rental properties in the last month.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Yeah.
Good job.
I know we all say we shouldn't have debt. I'll be the first to admit that there are certain aspects in which Craig and I sometimes have hypocritical behaviors.
We do. Don't you agree? What we teach is people trying to get to stability in their financial life, like getting all that debt. So we are strict on those aspects. But once you get up higher where you don't have debt, you kind of start not really bending the rules, but you have more flexibility because you don't have the debt.
Yeah. Because we don't have any consumer debt, which I know we always tell everyone debt is debt. So we still have one other rental property that has a mortgage on it, but that'll be next that we chip away. I'll tell you though, it's like a magical moment when you pay it off and you realize, hey, I don't have to make a mortgage payment next month.
And now that money is free. What you had budget to make a payment, you could go now get another property and still do that same payment because it's now factored in your budget.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
But remember, everybody, she is debt free other than those rental properties. She keeps building her portfolio. And yes, she could save up money and buy those cash, but you would now have two rental properties.
Yeah.
And you're going to probably get on a third one.
Yeah, maybe. I mean,
yeah, maybe. Or maybe
prices are crazy right now. We happen to have bought right before the market went crazy. So not only do we have it paid off, but our investment, you know, the equity in it skyrocketed in a year.
But now you could.
So yeah, we paid a 30-year mortgage in 1 year.
Bam.
To the day. It was 1 year to the day. 12 months.
Because you had rental money come in and then you took extra money that you had because you don't have any other debt to put on top of that and boom, gone. And now have something you own, a physical item that generates revenue and is increasing value. And then you can take that and put it into a third property.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We save or invest 60 to 70% of our monthly income.
There you go. Because the debt does not exist.
Yeah.
Other than rental property.
Yeah. We live off of less than one of our checks.
There you go. Wow. Anyway, I found it interesting that Americans expect to retire with debt and people need to start changing their mindset. Half of Americans, that's not a pretty picture in the future. Yeah. And it really concerns me that people are so into buying stuff and racking up these credit cards because they think it's normal and the advertising on TV makes it appear it's normal.
Mm-hmm. I have my bucket of cash money from the whole year. You remember I put my extra dollar bills and fives and stuff in a bucket all year long?
How much is it?
Well, and plus I roll my coins.
Right.
It is just over $1,000. So it's my Christmas fund. Yeah.
Nice.
I mentioned that because a lot of people go into debt for Christmas.
Oh, and I saw another article, which we won't go over, but debt is now at an all-time high all over again. We didn't learn anything. We all paid off stuff during the pandemic, and we're right back into it again.
Yeah.
It really concerns me. All right. Question number one. Can you read?
Yeah, sure. I am debt-free except for my two mortgages. One is a rental property in California and other property in Texas in which I live. I'm debating on whether or not I should sell my rental property in California when lease expires to pay off my Texas home. The tenant is very responsible and the lease will expire next year in May.
Well, I know what my answer would be, but you're probably more into this arena than I am.
Yeah, but let's hear your answer first.
I would sell that California property. I don't like rental properties too far away from Texas to there. I would sell that and pay off my other home and then go back to doing rental properties closer in Texas.
So, yeah. So I disagree with you. And like Dave Ramsey gets his undies in a bundle on this topic, too. It's like, I don't care if the rental properties, I'm not managing it anyway. Even if it was in my neighborhood, I'm not going to be managing it. Yeah. So what difference does it make? I mean, mine are in a different state. We hire a rental management company and that's their job. Even if they were on the same block as me, I wouldn't be allowed to be managed. If I hired a management company, you hire the management company and you're not allowed to have any interaction or anything to do with the property or it violates your contract with your management company. So if people are managing them themselves, then yes, keep it close and nearby so you can pop over when something goes wrong. But if you're not managing it, it's to me, it's like all these people that couldn't wrap their brains around the fact that you didn't have to go into an office to get work done.
Right.
You know, for years and years and years, people are like, no, you can't work remotely. You have to be at the office. And then suddenly when forced to, they're like, oh yeah, this is fine. It's not a big deal. You can work from far away and you still get your work done. It's the same thing with these rental properties. You can have a property somewhere else and have it managed and be fine. It does complicate your taxes because you'll have income in different states. So that's something to think about. But we don't have enough information to give a good answer on this question. The big question is the rental property profitable and expect to be continue to be profitable? And, you know, are you okay with having that second mortgage?
There you go. Well, the other part I don't like is it's in California. If it was any other state, I'd be different. Because whenever I would teach a class, if I live in Maryland and I do a class in California, I don't live there, but I have to pay a much higher, it's not a sunshine tax. I can't remember what it's called. It's somewhere, I don't know. Doing business in California, if you don't live there, I end up paying a huge bill as if I live there.
Yeah, yeah.
And so
that's what I mean. Like
California is a weird state in taxes.
Taxes are going to be rough for
us. I always feel weird about California anything because it's like a whole different country over there.
It is, yeah.
And I like the fact that they could pay off their home. That's what I'd rather do. And then they could go back into and really do what you're doing is what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm probably wrong or there's different ways.
No, I don't think you're
wrong. I like what you were saying, though.
Yeah.
But California, yeah. I'm not a fan. No offense to people in California, but I've had to pay so much tax to California. They've been the biggest pain in my butt. I'm so glad I don't have to deal with that anymore. Mm-hmm. It's always been a problem. It got to a point where I turned down work because I don't want to deal with it in California.
Yeah.
Teaching gigs. Anyway, question number two. If you owed $150,000 on your mortgage, is this like the mortgage? If you owed $150,000 on your mortgage, would you pay off the balance in 3 years or invest that money into stocks, 401k, Roth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera?
First I would max out my contributions to my eligible retirement plans, whether that's 401k or IRAs. You know, make sure you're contributing your $26,000 or so to that first. And then I would pay off the mortgage.
I agree with that. Here's what I'm concerned about. I'm gonna twist this up a little bit for you. Two things. Number one, everyone is used to making 20, 30, 40% a year on their investments in the stock market. Mm-hmm. That's coming to an end. That's not, it could. I'm not saying it will, Ms. Lawyer.
Say, what?
But we're gonna go back to this 8 to 12% average over time, I believe. Number two, you and I, did you send me that article about how much you can withdraw from your retirement plan? Because in the future, the next 20 years, it is now forecasted because of inflation and the cost of living. Remember how we talked about you need 8 to 12% over time?
Yes.
Well, if the inflation, like the inflation right now is what, 6.5% at the time we're recording this. That's like half of the money you're making now. So the stock market power of the average is now been greatly decreased of how much you're going to make because of the power of the dollar and all that in the future. They're forecasting the next 20 years. Remember all that money that we just handed out to everybody? Apparently, we have to pay that back. I don't know if anyone knows. So inflation, cost goods, it's going to take a while for the supply chains to normalize. And, you know, we're going to have, you know, high inflation is going to be, I think, be around a lot, you know, for a while. All this calms down. So you have to factor that in. If your cost of living is 4% and you're making 8%, well, you only made 4.
Mm-hmm.
Retirees need to probably saving even more because that 4% we said you could withdraw every year, which has been a guideline for ages. You're going to need more of that because of inflation, cost of living.
Right.
So we're back to what we started out with. If you owed $150,000 in mortgage, I would get out of debt.
Yeah,
because that right there is more powerful than having debt and trying to invest. Investments aren't guaranteed, but paying off your mortgage and having that, not having to pay that mortgage, that is guaranteed. And you're not paying. I don't care if it's 2, 3, 4% on that mortgage. That's gone. Now you have extra cash in your hand to pay $5 for a head of lettuce or whatever is going on out there. It's getting wacky out there. But you've now freed up your cash flow. Now you have extra money. You don't have all these headaches and burdens to worry about. Hey, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with two more questions. You're listening to Rock the Money.
Hey there, rock stars. Amanda here with ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Are you about to sell your home or excited to buy your first or next home? I'll be honored to help you find an expert to work with you in your local area. At ChoiceRealtyConnect.com, I'll help match you with up to 3 qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're selling or looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation property, or you're a first-time home buyer, let me connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Amanda Braun is a Florida licensed real estate with a brokerage, Realty Connect.
Rockland, USA.
Welcome back to Rock on the Money with Amanda and Craig. Check us out on Facebook. We got a lot of things coming up on Facebook, Amanda. Finally, thanks to Mr. Zuckerberg, Facebook.com/Rock on the Money. I'm real excited, Amanda. Everything we've been hoping for is finally happening.
Everything?
Well, not everything, but the live streams and that sort of thing. That page is going to get active. I'm not talking about the group. I'm talking about the page. We'll be doing live streams on there. And by the way, now we have, I can open up an audio room where people can come in. And that's a new feature you've seen on a lot of different platforms where I can open up an audio room. And if people want to talk or ask questions, I can bring them up and, you know, kind of like a little Zoom meeting. Mm-hmm. That's built into Facebook now. And we got podcasts on our page now. We're going to be doing live streaming. And you can subscribe to our page and get additional benefits and stuff like that. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. Of course, got to build it all out, but we just got an invite from Facebook to join the program for that. So obviously I applied for that, and I think Amanda's a little excited about it. We'll see what 2022 brings out. Should be interesting. Question number 3, all yours.
Soon to be college grad here, about to start my first grown-up job. What are some financial tips and tricks you wished you started right out of college? Any advice is so appreciated.
How long do we have? For me, not worrying about what kind of car, just don't go rushing out buying cars, don't buy new cars, get stuck in car debt using credit cards. Really understand how much you're making, don't go into debt. If you don't have the money, just don't buy it is my big thing.
Yeah. So my thing would be budget. You need to budget, start budgeting now and, you know, do it religiously.
Yeah.
Budget, budget, budget. Every time you get a paycheck, make sure before you start spending any of it or you hit an ATM to go out to the bars for happy hour with your friends that you're looking at, well, what do I have budgeted for this check? And then make sure that that budget includes investing in your retirement fund from day one.
Yeah. Remember how in college you would go out with some friends and you all buy one appetizer and you split it? Yeah, continue doing that. not to that extreme, but. You know, similar to that. But if you don't have the money, don't buy it.
Keep acting like a poor college student, you know, and then you're going to be in such a great spot in 5 to 10 years. If you just continue to live as if you don't have any money, that would be my best advice.
You already live like a college student. Keep doing that. Get yourself through baby step 1, 2, and 3. Get yourself up to where you can do the 401k.
Mm-hmm.
Just do that for 1 or 2 more years in your first stages of work.
Well, if you have student loans, then you are still poor.
yeah. Exactly. And that's baby step 2. Get yourself out of that. And I've heard that over and over again. If you're in baby step 2 because of student loans, you just came out of college. Question number 4. I have bought $60,000 worth of Apple stock in a brokerage link account with Fidelity 401k. Meaning, Amanda, they probably were able to use up to half of their 401k and put it into a brokerage account, but still under a 401k.
Okay.
Which I have done. Will I be taxed extra on the gains once I retire and start to draw off the gains?
Go ahead.
No, it's treated like your 401k because it's under that tax umbrella. The 401k is a reference to the IRS tax code. So
If it's a traditional 401k, then the answer is yes, you still get taxed.
Oh, yeah. I was going to get to the Roth traditional part because they didn't mention that. But whatever your 401k rules are, it's not the same as if you had the stock and did capital gains, is what I was going to, because it falls under the 401k umbrella.
Most people have a traditional 401k because they don't realize that you can elect to make Roth contributions to a 401k under most plans. So generally speaking, 401ks are traditional and you would be taxed on the withdrawals from your 401k, whether it's from stock money or a fund or something like that.
Right. Mm-hmm. It just counts as regular income, like a paycheck. Income. So it's not capital gains or anything like that. Your stock falls under the 401k rule. So
right, it would be taxable income.
All right, well, thank you, Amanda. That was really good. Appreciate your time.
You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget to check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. Podcast at rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.